Hi, this is the voice, Michael Schiavello. You're listening to the Premium Oddscast, hosted by leading MMA odds maker Nick Kalikas, fight scientist and author of Fightnomics, Reid Kuhn, and MMA journalist Brian Heminger. The absolute best UFC betting info, picks, statistics, and analysis from the most respected authority in mixed martial arts betting, MMAOddsBreaker.com.
Welcome to the Premium Oddscast, presented by Five Dime Sportsbook. I'm Brian Heminger, joined today by leading mixed martial arts oddsmaker Nick Kalikas to break down this Sunday's UFC Fight Night 109 event, which takes place in Stockholm, Sweden. If you're unfamiliar with our format, myself and Nick will break down the fight card from top to bottom, providing extensive analysis and a pick for each fight after doing our film study for the event. Looking back at our last event, we lost 0.78 units after going 1-1 with one no contest on our premium bets. We also lost our 1-unit free bet on Polo Reyes. Back to the present, UFC Fight Night 109 features a 12-fight card in total and will be aired on UFC Fight Pass and Fox Sports 1 this Sunday afternoon. Let's dive right in. Now, kicking things off on Fight Pass is a lightweight contest between Marcin Held, who is 22-6, and Demir Hadzevic, who is 10-3. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I opened Held -300, the comeback on Hadzevic at +220. Looking over our sponsored sportsbook, fivedimes.eu, it's currently Marcin Held -320. Hadzevic is currently at +260. So a little bit more action going Held's way. There is two-way action on this fight, and I expect it to continue, really. I mean, Held so far in the UFC has been a little, I don't want to say sketchy, because this fight with Lozon, he should have won that fight. I mean, but he's been a little bit disappointing. I think his Diego Sanchez loss, especially at this stage of Diego's career, is a little bit frustrating and disappointing to Marcin Held fans for sure, because we saw what kind of success he had in Bellator. And I mean, at age still 25 years old, I mean, the sky's the limit for this guy. His wrestling's getting better. His stand-up's getting better. He's evolving. And then on the ground, I mean, his submission game, especially with his leg locks and his, you know, leg submissions are phenomenal. I mean, you cannot – really, most people can't withstand the pressure. They get submitted. If they don't have great sub defense, they're going to get caught up in the trap, and Held is that good. So he has a bright future ahead of him. So I'm saying he's been a little bit disappointed, because he's 0-2 right now in the UFC, and he should really be 1-1. And I thought his Lozon victory was actually pretty solid, considering Lozon has been a true tough out and a savvy vet and experienced fighter. I mean, fighting amongst the best in the UFC for a while, and so that was a quality win for him. It should have been, at least. Now, he's not fighting an easy out here. I mean, Hadzevic, unfortunately for him, he made his UFC debut and got finished by Taisimov, so he's looking to kind of fix things here in his fight and get back to his winning ways with a big upset over Held. And it's possible if he can keep this fight upright, because I mean, Hadzevic on the feet has a lot of power. He's an experienced fighter as well. He's fought in Cage Warriors, of course, and you know how much I respect those guys over at Cage Warriors. They brought a lot of talent into the UFC, and they will continue to produce. So he's been fighting in organizations outside of the UFC even before he came in, against decent competition, and he's only improving as well. I mean, the guy's developing his game. He's getting better. His takedown defense is actually pretty solid. And again, he's got all sorts of power on the feet. So if this stays standing, I think it'll be competitive. But Hadzevic definitely has the power edge, and he could be the more effective striker on the feet. But on the ground, it's where the discrepancy is for sure. Held is going to have a big advantage, and I think it's going to be a little bit too much for him. And then I think it's going to be close enough on the feet where Held will have enough success to be able to get it to the ground, or at least be able to control the tempo of the fight by holding him up against the cage, looking for his taking his back and that sort of thing as well along the way. So it is Held's fight to win or lose. I think he's going to finally get his first victory in the UFC, long overdue. So it's hard to pick against Held in this fight, but I'm expecting it to be a pretty good fight while it lasts. I'm sure there's going to be a finish this fight, and I think it's probably going to be Held getting it done here. So I'm picking him to win.
Yeah, Marcin Held has had some bad luck, especially that Lozon fight that I thought he clearly won. Now, stepping in here against Hadzevic, it's definitely a step down from his previous two opponents. I mean, Diego Sanchez is a longtime veteran of the sport that's been in there against everyone. And same thing with Joe Lozon. Hadzevic is 0-1 and got knocked out in his one fight. Now, I'm not expecting Held to knock Hadzevic out. Hadzevic is a pretty good stand-up fighter. So if Held can't get this fight to the floor, then Hadzevic has a opportunity here to steal one. The main thing here is we need Held to close the distance, dive at the legs, work those heel hooks, and just be really aggressive with his ground game. If he can do that, this fight should be a walk in the park. If he can't do that, then Hadzovic has a chance. Because Hadzovic is clearly the better striker. He has decently long limbs. He fights aggressively. He has some power. So if Held is forced to stand and trade with this guy, I can see Hadzovic pulling this out. But I just don't think this fight stays standing for three rounds. I think at some point Held gets him down and either submits him or rides this out for three rounds. But, I mean, if Held was able to keep Joe Lozon down and take Joe Lozon down, he should have no problem here. So I'm picking Marcin Held. Now, moving up to the welterweight division, we have Darren Till, who is 13-0-1, taking on Jessen Ayari, who is 16-3. Now, Nick, what's the MMA Oddsmakers perspective on this one?
I open Till -275, the comeback on Ayari at +195. Right now, looking over at Five Dimes, it is Till -350, the comeback on Ayari is +290. So more action coming in Till's way. A lot of people were putting him in parlays as well. Not really that surprised by it. Till is definitely the more popular fighter, the more hyped prospect at age 24. Well, both these guys are actually 24 years old, but Till's definitely the more hyped prospect out of the two. He's a long fighter for 170 pounds. He's a southpaw. He's got a lot of good things going for him, especially his stand-up game. He's improving his wrestling game. He definitely needs to work on that ground defense a little bit and his conditioning a little bit more as well. But I think till he gets those areas tightened up a little bit, especially that cardio, he's going to be a very tough out. I mean, even in his last fight, he was doing really well until he did start to gas against Dalby, and that's kind of what cost him that fight was that third round. He had a brutal third round, but before that, he was looking okay, and it was his fight to win or lose. It just didn't work out for him. So, I mean, it ended up being a draw. So he didn't lose that fight, but still, he should have won that fight is what I'm trying to spit out. Now, Ayari, on the other hand, he was very fortunate. I mean, his UFC debut against another savvy vet that's been around the sport for a long time, and Jim Wallhead, that was a close fight. I mean, Ayari definitely had his moments in that fight. And he was able to land successfully as it went. And that's exactly what Ayari does. He's a well-rounded fighter. But he's more of a striking based fighter, in my opinion. On the feet, he shows good footwork. His movement's nice. He's got good timing with his counter punching as well. And he likes to throw those knees often and puts a lot of, kicks out there, especially to the leg. So that's the kind of fighter he is. He does look for takedowns and he has the ability to finish you on the ground as well. But to me, his movement and his stand up, his counter striking is the best attribute of his game. I don't think it's going to work too well here against Till though. I think that Till is going to be putting the pressure on. He's going to be coming forward. He's going to be a little bit longer overall than Ayari. Not much. I think 1 inch pure reach, but I think still the pressure that he's going to put on him. And I think he's more of the dangerous striker here. He's more of the powerful striker. And I think he's going to be able to land. And we saw Ayari have some problems with Wallhead's power. So I think Till is going to give him that much more trouble on the feet, really. So it's hard to pick Ayari here in this fight. I think that Till is going to get back to his winning ways with a pretty impressive win here. It's probably going to be almost a highlight reel type of finish for Till. If not, I still think he ends up doing enough to steal 2 out of 3 rounds here and not make it a close decision here. So Ayari's going to be game, though. He's probably a little bit underrated in this spot. Where the line is right now, I wouldn't go crazy. So for those people that think they can easily have a winner here with Till at -350, that's not the case. I think the line is getting a little bit too high. Ayari's probably better than that current line indicates, but still, it's Till's fight to win or lose, and I think he's going to probably come out with a win here.
This is a pretty evenly matched fight. Ayari is a talented fighter, and he had a really close victory in his UFC debut against Jim Wallhead last year, but I mean, for the most part, I thought that was a fight that could have gone either way, and you could definitely argue that Wallhead won, because, I mean, Wallhead dropped him in the third round, Wallhead almost finished him right at the end of the third round as well, so, but they ended up siding with Ayari via split decision. Now, Darren Till, on the other hand, this guy is super exciting. I mean, he has a lot of power, he's aggressive, he is a very, very dangerous striker. And I expect that Till will get the better of Ayari in a stand-up fight. Now, the one thing that I'm concerned about with Till, as Nick mentioned, is his conditioning. I mean, this guy slows down drastically in the third round. Now, I think part of it in the Dalby fight, where he just gassed horribly in the third round, was because he had Dalby so hurt in the first couple rounds, and he really pushed for the finish and wasn't able to get it. But, I mean, even so, I mean, he was a punching bag in that third round. It was an obvious 10-8 for Dalby. I mean, I was shocked Till was staying up with some of the punishment he was taking. So Till definitely needs to stay a little bit more composed, pick his spots a little bit better. But Ayari is definitely vulnerable. I mean, this guy, he was in big trouble against Wallhead late. So and I think Till is a more sharp and technical and dangerous striker that can fight a little bit longer than Wallhead, because, I mean, Wallhead has fought at lightweight before, and Till definitely can't make lightweight. So overall, I just think this is Darren Till's fight to lose. He should be the better striker here. He should have more durability, and I don't think conditioning will have too much of a factor here, especially because, I mean, Ayari didn't exactly look that greatly conditioned in the third round of his fight against Wallhead either. So my pick is going to be Darren Till. Now moving on to the Fox Sports 1 prelims, we have Nico Musoke, who is 13-4 with one no contest, taking on Bojan Velikovic, who is 14-4-1, and this is also in the welterweight division. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I opened Velikovic -135, the comeback, and Musoke at -105. The public has flipped the line. Early action coming in on Musoke, and right now it's actually Musoke -150, the comeback, and Velikovic at +130. So straight action coming in his way. Some parlays getting mixed in as well. Musoke's just the more popular betting favorite here for sure. I mean, a lot of people I see are picking him out there as well. I'm not as confident. I think Velikovic is going to give him a very, very tough fight here. And I think he's actually the better fighter, the more well-rounded fighter that's been tested by wrestlers in the past. And I understand he's been put on his back. He's, you know, he hasn't fared bad. I mean, he's had a couple close decision losses, a couple close decision wins as well throughout his career. I'm saying it with wrestlers, but so he's had some close fights with him. And that's exactly what Musoke's going to look to do in his fight. He's been out. First of all, I should say he's been out since January of 2015. Musoke has his loss to Tumanov by decision. So not a bad loss there for sure, but he's been out for so long. I mean, it's just kind of a head scratcher because out there, I mean, there's no reports of real injuries. It's just, it seems like he had some time off. I'm not exactly sure why that would be. Maybe he just wanted a little break, and he's getting back in the swing of things here, of course, on this card. So it makes a little bit of sense. But Velikovic is going to definitely be a tough out. Musoke in the past, even though he's has that grinding style that he pushes forward, pushes a high pace, likes to get the fight to the ground, and is successful doing so in most cases. On the feet, he's not bad either, though. He's able to score. He throws a diverse attack at you as well. He's just, I think, in my opinion, he slows down as the fight goes, and he's just not able to keep that high pace that he might early on in the fight. And I think that's going to cost him in this fight. Velikovic is, again, a very experienced fighter in his own right. I think overall he's probably going to be the better striker. His wrestling is a bit underrated as well. His takedown defense, even though he's been put on his back by some good wrestlers, overall I think is pretty good. He's able to scramble up to his feet. In most cases, he has a good submission game and good submission defense to go along with it. So Velikovic is a very complete fighter, and I think he's going to be the one that's a little bit fresher as this fight progresses a little bit. So even if Musoke is winning early on in this fight, I think Velikovic is going to do enough along the way that he's going to win 2 out of 3 rounds and probably maybe even get a finish along the way as the fight goes late. So to me, there's too many question marks right now against Musoke, and I think Velikovic is going to be the fresher, the better fighter overall. So I got to go his way. So I don't agree with all the early action coming in Musoke's way. I think they're all wrong, and I think Velikovic is the side here, and he's probably going to get the job done.
Yeah, the main advantage here that Musoke has is his ground game. I mean, this guy, when he gets fights to the floor, he's very dangerous. You saw that in his UFC debut when he pulled off that submission against Alessio Sicara, and he has had a pretty good overall UFC career. I mean, his only losses are to some top competition. Now, Velikovic, the main thing here is he just needs to keep this fight standing and fight long. Velikovic has solid kicking game, some power in his hands. He's good in the clinch. So overall, I expect that he can win a stand-up fight as long as he's not too concerned, overly concerned about the takedowns. And you got to remember, Velikovic has fought some pretty talented grapplers in the past. I mean, Michael Graves repeatedly was looking for takedowns for 3 straight rounds, and Velikovic was able to turn that fight into a draw after getting taken down early. And then in his last fight against Aliyev, I mean, it was a split decision loss against a guy that was repeatedly trying to take him down. And I think both of those guys have better wrestling than Misoke. The other thing going against Misoke, and I know this fight is taking place in Sweden, but going against Misoke is the fact that he hasn't fought in over 2 years. I mean, this guy is going to be super rusty, and you have to remember, I mean, it's not just a two-year layoff. I mean, now he's in his 30s. I'm definitely a little bit concerned about Misoke. I mean, I scoured the internet trying to find what was wrong with him to keep him out that long, but there just wasn't any information available. So there's just a huge question mark on Misoke with his health, with what's going on with him. So overall, I'm just going to side with a little bit more reliable fighter at this point in Velikovic. So that's going to be my pick. I think he can win a decision. Now, dropping down to the lightweight division, we have Reza Madadi, who is 14-5, taking on Joachim Silva, who is 9-1. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Up in Silva -180, the comeback on Madadi at +140. Right now, looking over five times, Silva -185, the comeback on Madadi is +160. So, line staying about where it opened, two-way action is coming in on this fight. There's a lot of split opinions out there as well, as there should be. I mean, this is a head-scratcher, in my opinion. I mean, this is short notice for Madadi stepping in for Taisimov in this spot against Silva. That Taisimov-Silva fight would have been pretty fun to watch as well. But that being said, this should be actually a classic. Madadi's a warrior, man. I mean, he's been through some tough battles throughout his career. He's got a very well-rounded game. Obviously, it's highlighted by his grappling game. I mean, he has decent wrestling for – I mean, what it is right now, especially for 36 years old, the guy is capable in most cases of taking the fight to the floor. His ground game, he could submit you on the feet. I mean, you know, he might not be the fastest fighter these days, but he's pretty accurate with his punching power, and he does have a little bit of pop in his punches as well. And he's got that warrior mentality. He's hard to finish. I mean, he's never been finished throughout his career, never been KO'd, never been subbed. Now, again, at age 36, that can change very easy, and especially him fighting a guy like Silva, I think this might be the time that it finally does catch up to him a little bit, and he might get knocked out, because Silva, getting into him a little bit, I mean, he is the type of guy that has big power on the feet. He's technical. He's got good accuracy, good timing. He's got a very good knee attack, and he's improving since the Ultimate Fighter show, especially. I mean, he lost by submission on that show, but his ground game overall, he definitely has a decent ground game. Probably a little bit underrated. I mean, we don't get to see a lot of it, obviously, since the show, but still, I think that he's better than what he showed, put it that way, on the show there as well. And he knows Madadi's game plan is going to be to look to take this fight to the floor and try to probably finish him that way as well, or even grind him out. So he's going to be prepared to do battle here, and I think he's going to be the fresher fighter. He's going to be the more dangerous fighter. And I think that he's probably going to end up catching Madadi enough on the feet where even if he can't knock him out, that he's going to probably just outstrike him along the way. And it should be a 29-28, maybe even a 30-27 type of decision win for Silva if it does hit the scorecards. I don't know if it will. Like I said, I think there's a good possibility that Silva ends up finishing Madadi here. But as the fight goes, I mean, Silva has to be careful, because the longer you leave Madadi in this fight, as he's proven in the past, I mean, he could come back and finish a fight. I mean, he might be able to catch Silva on the feet, might be able to catch a sub. I think a sub is a little bit more likely, like I said. So you got to be careful fighting with a guy like Madadi for sure in this type of situation, especially on short notice. I mean, he's going to have the country behind him as well. He's going to be motivated. It's not going to be an easy fight for Silva. So I think that's why you're seeing people split on this fight. People are taking a shot at the dog because they think he might be able to get the fight to the ground or whatnot. I'm going to side still a little bit with Silva. I think that he is the up-and-coming fighter. He's improving, and I think he has a little bit more upside to him at this point, and it would be a solid win over Madadi if he gets it. So I think he can do it. I'm going to pick Silva to win.
Madadi definitely is going to have the crowd behind him. This guy has a ton of heart, and he kind of has that never give up, get in your face attitude. But overall, I just think Silva's the better fighter. I mean, Silva has power. He's the better striker. He's way younger. He's got a lot more potential. But Madadi could play spoiler here. The main thing is Silva's going to be looking to knock Madadi's head off. I mean, this guy took out his last opponent, Holbrook, in 34 seconds, and Holbrook was undefeated. Now, Madadi's run in the UFC hasn't been the most impressive. I mean, he's had some tough fights, and he really hasn't had a lot of success. But the one thing is he doesn't give up. I mean, against Michael Johnson, I mean, he was in a world of hurt. He was milliseconds away from being finished, and then he just gutted through it, worked his takedown game, and was able to eventually get a finish, actually, with a submission. Now, this time around, I mean, it's all about the takedowns and grinding this fight out. If he can wear Silva out, then there's an opening here for Madadi to win. He needs to take him down repeatedly, tire him out, and either win, and probably win a decision, because I'm not quite sure that Madadi would be able to pull off a finish, but that doesn't mean that he can't win a decision. I mean, it's just all about the takedowns, grinding this fight out, and taking away Silva's striking. Silva's a decent grappler, but I mean, he's definitely the most dangerous on the feet. So if Madadi can take that away, there is an opening here. But that being said, I think Silva clips him at some point and probably finishes him. So I'm going to pick Silva, but I'm definitely tentatively picking Silva because Madadi is going to come out fired up. He's going to be aggressive, and he's going to be looking for the takedown from the beginning of the bell to the final horn. So my pick is Joaquim Silva, though. Now, moving up to the middleweight division, we have Trevor Smith, who is 14-7, taking on Chris Camozzi, who is 24-12. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I opened Camozzi -190, the comeback on Smith at +150. Public is overall action, I should say, is on Camozzi, because it's -245 for Camozzi right now. Trevor Smith is +205. No love for Trevor Smith, man. And man, I'll tell you what, he does deserve some respect. He has taken this fight on somewhat short notice, stepping in for Seidenblad, so that's to be noted. Although Brian had made a good point before the podcast started here, he was talking about that it's almost a full camp for him anyway. I mean, all considering he had about a couple months to prepare, give or take. So Smith should be okay, maybe not as concerning as a normal short notice fighter stepping in here, but still, I mean, Camozzi is going to be a tough out for Smith and vice versa. I think Camozzi, his kryptonite a lot of times are grapplers, and Smith is exactly that, and he's going to probably try to do that throughout the fight, I would assume. So that's his path to victory. So this is an intriguing matchup. I mean, both these guys have paths to victory, so I don't really agree with the current line movement now on Camozzi. I mean, like I said, in my opinion, Smith in the past has had some suspect, obviously, conditioning. I mean, that's been a flaw of his, and I think he's obviously a bit chinny at times as well. He's been knocked out 4 times in his career. But since he's entered the UFC, I mean, the respect level for me has personally gone up a lot because his conditioning has gotten better. He showed that he wants to win so bad. He hangs in there. Even if he's been rocked, he'll try to survive the fight and, you know, fight his way through, maintain top position. And on the ground, I've always been a fan of his jiu-jitsu game. I mean, the guy has a pretty slick submission game. I mean, he's capable of finishing most on the ground. So you always got to be careful with Smith's ground game. And now to the point where his stand-up's getting a little bit better. He's getting a little bit more confident. His conditioning's improving as well. So Smith is not going to be an easy out. Camozzi, of course, has been a fan favorite for a long time to a lot of folks. I mean, he's just genuinely a great guy in and out of the cage. I mean, you could tell that. He's just a guy that's easy to like, and I think that's why his fan base is growing continuously. And I think he's always, you know, communicating with fans on Twitter and whatnot as well. So he is a beloved fighter in most cases, even though he's not a superstar in the UFC in the middleweight division. And he's been on and off the UFC roster for a while. So the guy's been around the sport for a while. He's talented for sure, especially in the stand-up game. I think he pushes a decent pace. He's got a little bit of knockout power to go along with him, and he's got all sorts of experience that we just mentioned. He's got quality wins over decent competition throughout his career as well, but his kryptonite is that ground, and he's facing his kryptonite here. I mean, that's what makes it intriguing. That's why I don't necessarily agree with the action, because Smith is going to look to take this fight to the ground and not just grind him out. He's going to look to submit Camozzi, and I think it's very possible here in this spot as well. So I've been going back and forth on this fight, honestly, because I could see Camozzi keeping the fight upright a little bit and outstriking Smith and possibly knocking Smith out on the feet, or I could see Smith getting the fight to the ground and then not just, like, again, controlling the action with his wrestling, but actually being aggressive and attacking and looking for a finish, which is possible as well. So to me, this is more of a coin flip type of fight, honestly. And I'm going to actually lean a little bit more towards Smith. I think that the ground game is going to be strong enough here that he's going to implement his game plan. It's probably going to be successful for him. So not a confident pick, but I'm going to go with Smith here.
And I like Smith too. I mean, the main thing that Smith has here in this fight as an advantage is his ground game, his grappling, which he has focused on significantly in all of his recent wins in the UFC. And what has been Chris Camozzi's kryptonite throughout his UFC career? It's been guys that wanted to take him down, because anytime somebody has really wanted to take Camozzi down, they're able to do it. I mean, just look through Chris Camozzi's track record. Throughout his entire UFC career, Daniel Kelly wanted him down. He took him down. Talis Lidis wanted him down, took him down and submitted him. Jacare wanted him down twice, took him down both times and submitted him. And Bruno Santos even. I mean, that was an ugly fight, but he repeatedly took him down and pushed him around in the clinch. So this guy, when he's in stand-up fights, he looks great. I mean, he beat Tom Watson, Joe Riggs, and Vitor Miranda, all in fights that stayed on the feet for, and he was able to out-volume them because he's an aggressive, voluminous striker. But when guys want to add the ground to the game, he just can't hang. So I know Trevor Smith isn't a great athlete. Camozzi is a little bit quicker than Smith, but if Smith can get his hands on him, then I just think there's a really good chance that he drags Camozzi down and potentially can submit him. I mean, Camozzi, I know he's only been finished by Jacare pretty much and Talis Lidis, two really good Brazilian jiu-jitsu artists, but Smith's ground game is super underrated, and if he can get on top of Camozzi and wear him out a little bit, then the openings could be there. So I'm going to side with Trevor Smith, although if he can't get Camozzi down, he's probably going to take a beating. But I think Smith can take him down, and I trust him to take him down. So my pick is Smith. Now moving on to the main event of the preliminary card, we have a bantamweight contest between Pedro Munhoz, who is 13-2 with one no contest, and Damian Stasiak, who is 10-3. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I put Munhoz -505, the comeback on Stasiak +335. Wasn't enough, -505, because right now it's actually Munhoz -700, the comeback on Stasiak is +500. One of those cases, I think, if you open at 600, it would have got bet up. 700 would have got bet up. A lot of people want to bet Munhoz in this fight. I think this is in most people's opinion, this is probably the lock of the night here, and that's why people are betting it. But no such thing as lock, of course. For all of you guys that have been listening for a while, you know how crazy the sport is. But I mean, if there's something that's going to get close to that, it should be a fight like this. Because for Stasiak, even though he's been impressive, and I think he's probably a little bit underrated, he's got back-to-back wins so far in the UFC after a lackluster debut against Meza. You know, he's rebounded very nice. And I think his win over Grant was actually pretty impressive, because I like David Grant. I think David Grant is a pretty solid fighter. So that was a pretty solid win for Stasiak. I mean, I think it's probably an underrated win somewhat. So Stasiak is getting better. He's getting more confidence. But make no mistake, even though he does have a karate type of style in the feet and he's capable of striking with opponents, his game is taking the fight to the floor and really utilizing his ground game, which is pretty good. So he wants to get the fight to the ground. He wants to try to out grapple you and look for the submissions on the ground as well. And in most cases, he can get that done. But against Munhoz, he's going to struggle here. Munhoz is just a complete fighter. He's a well-rounded fighter. He's got okay takedown defense, but he doesn't even – I mean, he's the type of fighter that even if you put him on his back, his jiu-jitsu game is so good, especially with his guillotine chokes. I mean, they're sick. They're off the chart. If he gets his hands around your neck, you're pretty much done. So Munhoz, even if Stasiak is successful getting him down, he's going to have to worry about all sorts of things on the ground with him. And then on the feet, there's a big difference here in this fight. I mean, Munhoz is going to be the more powerful striker. He's going to be the busier striker, and he's going to be the more effective striker overall. So that's why you're seeing this kind of like a mismatch type of fight as far according to the odds. I think it's right. And I think the people that are betting it up a little bit are going to probably win their bet. Now, would I lay 7-1? Absolutely not. Not in this spot, especially where the line is now. And considering that Stasiak, I mean, has a path to victory and it would be his ground, even though I don't think he's going to have success doing so. So still, that being said, it's a pretty clear cut fight. I'm not going to spend much more time on this. I think what it comes down to is Munhoz probably dictating the pace of this fight and out striking Stasiak to a win here, whether it's on the cards and Stasiak survives all three, or, you know, he finishes them with strikes along the way as well. And you can never count out Munhoz's ground game as far as submission goes either. I mean, he could easily submit most people, even a guy like Stasiak that has never been submitted before. That guillotine choke is that good. He could catch him as well. So more ways to win for Munoz. I expect the bettors out there to probably win on this one, and I think he's going to get it done. So my pick is Munoz.
Yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot to break down in this fight, to be honest. Stasiak has been winning fights, his last two, by getting fights to the floor and out-grappling his opponents. And that's just not going to happen against Pedro Munoz. Munoz is an elite grappler, one of the better ground games in the entire bantamweight division. And then Stasiak on the feet has a bit of a karate base, but he's not that much of a striker. Not that effective either. He doesn't even land one strike per minute. And Pedro Munoz is a really aggressive boxer that, I mean, he lands four strikes a minute. So, and they're about the same accuracy. And Munoz has better striking defense. Munoz is just way better fighter here. And as long as Munoz doesn't spend the whole fight on his back, which I just don't see happening, then Munoz should not just win, but win impressively here, just because Stasiak does not have a real path to victory. So my pick is going to be Pedro Munoz. Now moving on to the Fox Sports 1 main card, we have a middleweight contest between Jack Hermanson, who is 14-3, and Alex Nicholson, who is 7-3. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Up in Hermanson, minus 170. The comeback on Nicholson at plus 130. Right now, looking over the line at five dimes. Hermanson's minus 155. Nicholson is plus 135. So line margins have tightened up a little bit. And there has been two-way action on this fight as well. Nicholson dropped a little bit. There was action coming in right away on him when the line first opened. Now there's action coming back in on Hermanson as well. So a lot of split opinions on this fight. An under 2-1 line is always a competitive type of fight as well. So a lot of people are expecting this to be just that. I got to admit, I wasn't a very big fan of Nicholson when he made his UFC debut. I mean, with all the film study and what we've seen from him coming into the UFC, I didn't think he was ready to compete with these guys at 185 pounds, and UFC level-wise at least. I thought he needed more time, more experience before he could get in there and succeed. But, man, he's gotten better fast, honestly. He's definitely improved his game. He's been putting in the work. He's a tough guy. He showed it time and time again. I mean, he's got no quit in him. I mean – even that fight against Rakunov, I mean, it ended kind of nasty with that, with the broken jaw and whatnot. But still, I mean, he's the type of fighter that he had no quit in him. I mean, that was unfortunate the way that ended for him. But you could just tell. I mean, then he rebounded nicely against Clark and was able to win that fight. That was a solid win for him. His fight with Alvey was able to get the job done there, but by decision. I mean, Nicholson just hangs in there and he doesn't go away. And on top of it, I mean, if he makes his fight a brawl, he could definitely have some success. I was not really impressed with Hermanson in his last fight, especially with the way his striking was. I mean, he just looked a little flat to me, and he looked a little bit off with his timing. It didn't seem like himself. So that's a kind of a head scratcher for me. Of course, I mean, you're going to say Ferreira was able to take a fight to the ground, and it was stylistically, you know, that type of fighter that he's going to look to take the fight to the ground and control the ground, you know, and do what he does best there on the floor. So I understand that Hermanson probably was looking out for those takedowns a little bit there, but still I was expecting a little bit more from him. So he's been kind of off and on. I mean, he's been a little bit too inconsistent throughout his career, not just in the UFC. I mean, his fight against Askin was actually pretty decent in the UFC, but then looking back, I mean, he's had some quality wins outside of the UFC against decent level competitions, but still he's had moments in those fights where, I don't know, he's just been, again, a little bit inconsistent. He hasn't put on that, in my opinion, that great performance that you could just, you know, his striking's on point the entire fight, or, you know, his grappling just looks unstoppable on the ground either. So he's beatable, and this is a competitive fight here. If he's not able to get Nicholson to the ground, I think we're going to see a very, very close fight with actually Nicholson being able to get the job done here. So I'm leaning a little bit more towards Nicholson, to be honest with you. I think his takedown defense is probably going to be good enough for him to stifle some takedown attempts from Hermanson. And even if he does get put on his back, I don't think Hermanson's able to submit him. And if not, I think Nicholson ends up back on his feet. And on the feet, he's going to have some success in the clinch. I think he's going to have success in range as well. I mean, being able to use that length a little bit. And again, he'll kind of make this fight a brawl, and he'll have a chance here to win this fight. So I'll go with the underdog here, and I'll pick Nicholson to get the job done. Again, not a huge confident pick here, because I think that Hermanson obviously is a favorite for a reason. He has a path to victory here as well. And in most cases, it's trying to utilize that pressure and that getting the fight to the ground as well. But I think Nicholson's going to make life tough for him, and I think he's going to be able to pull off the upset. So I'll go his way.
This should be a really competitive fight. Nicholson is a scrappy brawler with good power and a lot of heart, and Hermanson is a little bit more of a technical striker. Both guys have high volume, are decently accurate. The main difference between them is Nicholson's defense is not nearly as good as Hermanson. So what should happen here is if Hermanson wants to fight smart, he needs to make this fight as technical as possible and just light Nicholson up with jabs, with kicks, keep his distance. Don't let Nicholson get in close. If Nicholson can swarm him and turn this fight into more of a brawl, then Nicholson can win because that's the type of fight that he thrives in. Like, he just likes those gritty, bite down on your mouthpiece and go for it type of fights. Hermanson, he definitely is a much more composed striker. But, I mean, he's still aggressive as well. So if Hermanson can do his thing and hit without getting hit as much in return, then I can see Hermanson winning this fight. I mean, Nicholson doesn't have the greatest chin, and Hermanson is a pretty technical striker. The main thing is he just has to keep Nicholson off of him. If Nicholson can get this fight to the clinch, he can do some pretty nasty damage with elbows and knees on the inside. So if Hermanson can fight long, can keep it in boxing range or even kickboxing range, then I think Hermanson has a great shot at winning. He just has to avoid the brawl and avoid getting swarmed. And if he can do that, then I can see him walking away with either a decision victory or even potentially a knockout. But if he doesn't do that, then he's playing with fire and Nicholson has an opportunity to win. It's just all about how this fight plays out. But I think Hermanson has what it takes to walk away victorious, and the hometown crowd should definitely be helping him out. So my pick is going to be Jack Hermanson. Now, dropping down to the welterweight division, we have UFC newcomer Oliver Enkamp, who is 7-0, taking on Nordin Taleb, who is 11-4. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I open Taleb -300, the comeback on Enkamp at +220. Right now, looking over at Five Dimes, is Taleb -535. The comeback at Enkamp is at +420. So needless to say, actually coming in Taleb's way early on. And I kind of agree with it. I mean, I don't know if Enkamp is ready. The guy's definitely a talented prospect. I thought he was going to get a little bit more love. I mean, considering that he's the type of guy that is an undefeated fighter, he's a well-rounded fighter that has the ability to finish most fights, especially underground. I think Enkamp, his stand-up game's not bad. He's definitely a long, flexible type of fighter that's a little bit unorthodox and can have a little bit of success on the feet as well. But on the ground, it's where it's at with him. I think that his submission game, especially with that length and his skill set with those legs, man, underground, he could definitely tie you up and make it you really work your butt off to avoid getting submitted on the ground with him as well. So he's a finisher. He's capable of doing that. He's got a little bit of game in him, even if he doesn't finish you, that he can outpoint you on the feet usually as well. So again, well-rounded prospect that's only going to get better. He's only 25 years old. I'm just thinking that this is a little bit too fast for him. I mean, too soon to fight a guy like Taleb, in my opinion. He has taken this fight, I should say, on short notice as well. So for me, cardio is a concern because if you look back at some of his fights, he does slow down as the fight goes a little bit. But again, in most cases, he's finishing fights, so he doesn't have to – you don't get to see as much of a glimpse of that. But if you look closer, he does slow down. So I guess Taleb, on short notice, a UFC veteran that's been facing really high-level competition that's going to be a little bit physically stronger. He's not going to be – out of his realm anywhere. I mean, Enkamp could possibly submit Taleb on the ground, but I think Taleb's overall defense on the ground is going to be good enough that he'll sustain top position. He'll drop some ground and pound if he does get top position on the ground as well. And I don't think he's going to get himself caught in a sub. So I think this is his fight to win or lose. I think he could dictate the pace of this fight. He's going to be the stronger fighter. He could be a little bit more aggressive here. And again, Enkamp is going to kind of be, I think, starstruck a little bit, meaning that, you know, the lights, the bright lights of the UFC making your debut and all that stuff, the pressure with the short notice, everything. It's just a lot to ask for to beat a solid fighter like Taleb in your debut. So I don't see it happening. I think that's why everybody wasn't hesitating to lay that 3-1. They've obviously saw it as well. So Looks like most of us are on the same page here. I just don't think that Enkamp is ready for this fight, so I'm going to pick Taleb to win.
Enkamp is a talented young fighter, but the main thing I have from watching him fight is I'm just not quite sure he's ready for his UFC debut. I mean, this guy's only really faced regional competition. He hasn't really showcased great offensive or defensive wrestling, and his striking is, it just leaves a little bit to be desired. So, I mean, he's got the measurables. I mean, a 77-inch reach in the welterweight division is massive. I mean, that's right there behind Neil Magny as perhaps the second longest. But he just doesn't know how to use it yet. I mean, he's young. He comes out of a pretty good gym, but and he is fighting in his, you know, home country. But I think Taleb is just so much more experienced. Taleb has been on, you know, a nice streak overall in his UFC career. I mean, this guy, he had that great knockout against Eric Silva. I know he lost to Ponzinibbio, but I mean, he was close in that fight. I mean, that was way closer than I expected it to be. And, overall, I just think that what happens in this fight is Taleb just uses a lot of his veteran experience, keeps Enkamp at the end of his jab, pieces him up a little bit if he gets too close. And if Enkamp wants to get this fight to the floor, I just don't see how he could possibly do it, because Taleb should be able to stuff everything that he throws his way in terms of trying to get takedowns. So I think this fight's going to be pretty one-sided. And overall, I think Taleb should walk away with at least a decision victory. So my pick is going to be Nordine Taleb. Now, sticking with the welterweight division, we have Abdul Razak Al-Hassan, who is 7-0, taking on Omari Akhmedov, who is 16-3. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I opened Al-Hassan minus 260, the comeback on Akhmedov at plus 180. Right now, looking over at five dimes, it is currently Al-Hassan minus 255, Akhmedov is plus 215. This was a weird one, because there was a lot of action on the dog early on, and now we're seeing some action back on Al-Hassan. So a lot of split opinions on this one as well, even though Al-Hassan is sitting at about a 2.5-1 favorite. Rightfully so. There's so many question marks with Al-Hassan. I mean, we know that the guy is a powerhouse on the feet. He's got a judo background, so he's able to probably keep the fight up in most cases. And then on the feet, he's a powerhouse. I mean, the guy's an accurate striker. One of the guy, the type of guy that, I mean, just he hits you and you're out. I mean, that much power and accuracy on the feet. He's just a dangerous, aggressive striker. And Akhmedov has been struggling with guys like that. So he's going to obviously come into this fight looking to take the fight to the ground, because that's going to be where his best chance to win this fight is. I mean, Akhmedov on the feet is not bad. He's capable of doing some damage as well. But I mean, if you're getting knocked out, put it this way, if you're getting knocked out by the likes of Zaleski or Moraes, I mean, Moraes is a grappler for crying out loud, and he was able to catch him on the feet as well. So you're going to probably end up getting knocked out playing the stand-up game with a guy like Al-Hassan. I mean, the guy hits harder than both the guys that I just mentioned that were able to finish Akhmedov. So not a good formula for him. He's going to need to take this fight to the ground and try to test Al-Hassan out, maybe finish him on the ground. If not, drag this thing into deeper waters, because if anything, Al-Hassan has never been out of the first round. So we're not sure how he's going to be going into, you know, round two, round three, if Akhmedov can make it that long. I mean, the advantage definitely shifts towards him, you would think, with all the experience that he has against the high level competition across the board. It should definitely help, but I don't think he's going to get there. I think Al-Hassan is going to be able to finish this fight probably by midway through the first round. He's able to catch Akhmedov and put him out, and then we're going to see the hype train continue to roll on Al-Hassan until somebody seriously tests him here. So not a confident pick, because we just don't know what Al-Hassan's made of. Will Akhmedov be the guy to really test him and bring some flaws out of him? I don't know if that's going to be the case either. So I'm leaning with Al-Hassan. I think he is probably going to get the job done in standard fashion by knockout. I think that's how he is going to get it done. But again, confidence level, it's kind of out there a little bit. I mean, it's yet to be determined with him, but I think he is a promising, I don't want to say prospect at age 31, but in fight years, I mean, he's only had a few fights, so he could definitely develop and become even better. So we'll see where he goes, but I'm picking Al-Hassan to win his fight.
As Nick mentioned, there are definitely some question marks with Al-Hassan, mainly because the dude's never been out of the first round, and he just has destroyed everyone put in front of him so far. And Omari Akhmedov is going to be looking for takedowns, and he's going to try to drag this fight to the floor and grind Al-Hassan to a halt. Now, if Akhmedov can do that, I mean, it's possible. I mean, Alhassan does, as Nick mentioned, come from the judo background, so he's very good at staying upright, and he should have some really good takedown defense. He defended the takedowns that were thrown his way in his UFC debut, but they weren't from an opponent that was as skilled with wrestling as Akhmedov is. Now, Akhmedov's chin is definitely suspect. I mean, this guy has been knocked out by fighters that have not even half as much striking power as Alhassan. The main concern, though, is can Alhassan land that kill shot before Akhmedov gets a hold of him and tries dragging this fight down? If he can, then, I mean, it's going to be an easy walk-off victory for Alhassan. But if he can't, then this fight gets really interesting really quick because Akhmedov in top position is pretty stifling. He has good top control. He lands decent ground and pound. He can really wear you out. And with Alhassan never having been out of the first round, there's no telling what his conditioning looks like. Now, Akhmedov's conditioning isn't the greatest either. If this fight does go to the third round and Alhassan's really making him work to get each takedown, then, you know, Akhmedov could just be so slow that Alhassan blasts him anyway. But overall, it is definitely a concern that with Akhmedov's wrestling. That being said, Alhassan just hits so damn hard. And if he can, all he really has to do is stuff like the first one or two takedowns. And if he can just make Akhmedov frustrated with the grappling and then land one good shot, then that could be all she wrote. So I'm going to side with Alhassan, but there's way too many question marks in this fight to really be confident about it. So my pick is going to be Razak Alhassan. Now moving on in the welterweight division as well, we have Peter Sabata, who is 16-5-1, taking on Ben Killaby Saunders, who is 21-7-2. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I put Saunders minus 165, the comeback on Sabata at plus 125. Right now, looking over five dimes, Saunders minus 120, Sabata even money. So that plus 125 disappeared, and now you're seeing even money on Sabata. A little surprised by the early action coming in Sabata's way. Just typically speaking, Saunders is the more popular betting favorite in most cases. Like, I mean, the bettors definitely get behind him, and especially in a matchup like this against a guy that I want to say Sabata, not that he's not a talented fighter, but he's not a guy that a lot of people – he's not one of those household names in the UFC, I guess, that you would like to call or whatever. And Saunders is more of that. You know what I mean? He's been in the sport for a long time through his first UFC stint and then even going to Bellator, then coming back here. People know about Saunders. They know about his ability to finish fights. He's an exciting fighter. I mean, in most cases, every one of his fights is exciting. I know there's people been able to wrestle him and kind of draw out and make some boring fights if they're not able to get if he doesn't finish them. So that is a flaw, but I mean, in most cases, he has fight of the night type of performances, and I think this fight with Sabata here is going to be another one of those. So I understand the early action here. In fact, I'm going to lean a little bit more Sabata's way as well. Again, surprising because I expected more people to come in Saunders' way. But I think stylistically, this is an interesting matchup. I mean, Saunders on the feet is going to have a little bit of length. I mean, and he is definitely a dangerous fighter when it comes to striking, especially his kicks. And if he looks at Sabata, I think, if anything, I mean, if you look at the Noke fight, he could probably take away that maybe we go to start drilling some kicks to that body, which Saunders typically likes to do anyway. And, you know, maybe we could find something with Sabata there as well. So I think he's going to be prepared for this fight, and I think he's going to come up with a pretty solid game plan and try to implement it, whether it's standing or on the ground here. But Sabata, again, what I was mentioning is he just matches up really well with Saunders across the board, because Sabata's stand-up game overall has always been pretty decent, but it's actually gotten a little bit better. So he's got some accurate striking. He mixes things up well. His technique is not sloppy. He can pretty much maintain a consistent pace throughout three rounds. And then to boot, his ground game, his wrestling's a little bit underrated, and he's got a very good sub-game to go along with it. So I think it's going to be tough for Saunders to sub Sabata, and I think it's going to be tough for Sabata, obviously, to sub Saunders as well. That kind of gets neutralized out a little bit. I think on the feet, you got to give the more of the dangerous edge to Saunders, but chin-wise, I trust Sabata a little bit more, honestly, Sabata, because I think his chin is a little bit more solid at this point of his career. Saunders has been knocked out, I believe, four times. So that, in my opinion, and if you looked, he's been clipped even more than that, actually. So those losses could have been by knockout even more so. So he's been able to survive some of those. So Saunders, I don't trust his chin on the feet, even though Sabata is not a powerhouse type of striker. You never know. I think he could clip Saunders on the feet. And then on the ground, I think Sabata could probably maintain top control a little bit more often than not as well. And if he does that, I think he does so without getting submitted. So that could win him some points, obviously, throughout the fight. So I think it's Sabata's fight to win or lose here. I think if he doesn't get finished by Saunders in this fight, I think he ends up probably grinding out a pretty close decision win, competitive 29-28 type of decision. So I'll lean Sabata's way. I think the early action as it stands right now was probably correct. So he's my pick.
This should be a really competitive fight. I mean, Sabata looked great in his last contest, picking up a win. Nice bounce back fight for him. And Saunders, I mean, he really had to scratch and claw to get that victory over Court McGee, which honestly could have gone either way. So, based on their more recent performance, Sabata definitely looked better in his last fight. But, I mean, Saunders was fighting a pretty talented veteran, so I'll give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. Now, in terms of skill, Saunders is the better striker. I mean, this guy has some devastating kicks, and then in the clinch, he is ferocious. Knees, elbows, you name it. If he can get up close, he can do a lot of damage, and he can do some damage from distance if he can land some good leg kicks or body kicks. And we saw Sabata, you know, really get hurt from a body kick by Kyle Noak. Now, if this fight goes to the floor, Sabata's probably going to be the one in top position, but you can never count Ben Saunders out from bottom. And this guy has one of the most aggressive guards in all of MMA right now, with that rubber guard with the long limbs, constantly going for omoplatas and other things. I mean, he's the only fighter to ever finish an omoplata in the UFC. So Saunders definitely has a unique, crafty ground game. But if Sabata can withstand that ground game and not get submitted or swept, I mean, I can see him getting top position on the ground and winning rounds. So that is a concern. And Saunders, you know, as dangerous as he can be on the feet, he can also be swarmed. I mean, Saunders isn't the greatest puncher. And in pure boxing range, Sabata's probably the better striker. And Saunders doesn't have the greatest durability. I mean, this guy can be knocked out. He can be hurt on the feet badly. So if Sabata can swarm him a little bit on the feet and land some good shots with his boxing, I can see Sabata potentially winning the stand-up as long as he avoids clinch range or extreme kickboxing distance. So this fight could honestly go either way, but I'm going to slightly side with Ben Saunders. I just really like the danger that he brings, both with from distance and on the inside, plus with that submission game. I don't see him submitting Sabata unless he hurts him on the feet first, but I do think that Saunders might be able to pull this one out, but it should be really close, whoever wins it. So my pick is going to be Ben Saunders. Now moving on to the co-main event of the evening in the light heavyweight division, we have Volkan Ozdemir, who is 13-1, taking on Misha Surkunov, who is 13-2. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I put Surkunov -260, the comeback in Ozdemir at +180. 260 was not enough. Right now it's -450 at five dimes, and the comeback in Ozdemir is at +360. Needless to say, I was a little bit surprised in this matchup that Surkunov did get bet up that high. I mean, I figured they would probably maybe 3-1 or so, but I wasn't expecting it to go to like 4.5-1 like it is now. So I'm not going to agree with the early action coming into this fight. I know Surkunov has looked really good. I mean, he's actually impressed me. He's getting better and better fight by fight. So I'm glad that all the hype is getting justified a little bit, because he did have some hype coming into the UFC, especially from our Canadian friends. And I understand why now. I mean, the guy, again, he's improving. He's always been a great grappler. I mean, that's what he's been recognized for, well known for. I mean, the guy gets you to the mat, he's able to have his way with you more times than not. But right now he's actually developing his striking to the point where it's actually getting pretty good. I mean, the guy knows how to strike. He's technical with it. He has a little bit of power behind it as well. And that just sets up his takedown ability that much better. So he's improving for sure. And he's only a couple fights away probably from a title shot, which is amazing. And he's going to be a tough out. I mean, no matter who the guy faces with his skill set, which is he's solid everywhere. He's a tough out for everybody. But that being said, I think that Ozdemir is a very difficult out too. If Sirkunov does not get Ozdemir on the ground, I think the stand-up exchange, even though it'll be close, Ozdemir is going to hold his own. And I mean, the guy can obviously strike and has some power. That's what he – I think his game is highlighted by. That's what he does best is his knockout ability on the feet. On the ground, if he gets top position, he has nasty ground and pound as well. So he's not a fish out of water on the ground, but he's no match for Sirkunov on the ground, that's for sure. And I think a lot of people are fading Ozdemir right now based on a lot of it. If you look back at his Bellator loss to Anunsen, I mean, Anunsen's a wrestler that has a little bit of submission ability, and he was able to get the job done in the second round of their fight there. So I think a lot of people look at that and they say, okay, man, if Anunsen was able to get the job done against Ozdemir, Sirkunov's going to destroy the guy. Easy money, easy money. I don't think that's going to be the case here, though. I think that since that fight, Ozdemir, obviously, it was a wake-up call for him, and he's gotten better. His takedown defense has definitely improved, and he's going to keep working on that as well. And making your debut against OSP, even though OSP is not performing the best that he has in his career right now, I still think that's a pretty tough out. And, you know, that was a competitive fight, a back-and-forth type of fight, but it was a pretty solid win in your debut, making it a short notice to boot. So Ozdemir has some potential. He's got some talent. I think he's worked his ground game enough where – I don't think Sirkunov's going to have an easy time with him on the ground either, but it's going to be interesting to say the least. Like I said, I figured that the line wouldn't get kind of bet as crazy as it did. A lot of people are that confident in Sirkunov. I mean, Parlay City here as well. I mean, everybody's kind of banking on him winning this fight that clear that, you know, they're not hesitating to throw him in parlays, I'm sure. So I'm going to pick Sirkunov because he is the more well-rounded fighter, and he should be favored in this fight, but it's a dog or pass situation. I'm saying it right now. I think Ozdemir is just severely getting, you know, underestimated here. And I think if he can keep off the floor, this is going to be a heck of a fight. And I think it's a fight that he could possibly pull off the upset and surprise some people. So my pick is going to be Sirkunov, but again, it's a dog or pass situation, and I could possibly switch my pick for those of you that might not know, our staff picks that goes out on MMA Oddsbreaker on fight day is actually our final picks out there. So in most cases, our picks stay the same, but you guys got to make sure you do check MMAOddsbreaker.com and our staff picks for UFC Fight Night 109. And those are going to be our official final selections on, like I said, they get posted usually on fight day. So make sure you check those out in case I go with the underdog straight out. But right now I am going to lean with Sirkunov. I do think that he's a rightful favorite, but I'm not as confident as everybody else out there.
On the feet, this fight is going to be pretty competitive. Ozdemir looked solid against OSP in his UFC debut, ended up winning a decision in a purely, for the most part, stand-up fight. Now, against Sirkunov, I think on the feet that Sirkunov should be able to hold his own at least with Ozdemir. Ozdemir doesn't present a ton of power threat. I don't think that he could knock Sirkunov out easily. And Sirkunov, on the other hand, his stand-up has improved drastically every time we've seen him. And in his last fight, I mean, he blasted his opponent and then was able to hurt them on the feet. And then that set up the submission against Krylov. So Sirkunov's striking has really come a long way. I mean, he even outstruck Ion Kutalaba, a really dangerous striker as well. So I can see Sirkunov holding his own in a stand-up fight, but why risk it? I mean, I think this fight's about 50-50 on the feet, but on the ground, Ozdemir has been controlled in the past. He's been dominated on the ground, and Sirkunov's ground game is stifling. So if Sirkunov can close the distance and get a hold of Ozdemir and drag this fight to the floor, he should be able to at least win a decision, if not get a submission. And I think with the way that Sirkunov can just completely overwhelm opponents on the canvas, I can see Sirkunov getting that submission. The main thing here, though, is will he screw around on the feet too long? Because I don't know if he can actually hurt Ozdemir on the feet. Even though Sirkunov packs a pretty good punch, his hooks are pretty dangerous now. He has a really good left one that people don't see coming a lot of the time. But overall, as long as Sirkunov can mix things up, make this a true MMA fight instead of just a boxing match, then Sirkunov should win easily. But if this stays standing for three rounds, it's a lot more up in the air. But I'm going to pick Misha Sirkunov. I just think he's more well-rounded, and I think he does get this fight to the floor. So my pick is going to be Sirkunov. Now moving on to the main event of the evening, We have Alexander Gustafsson, who is 17-4, taking on Glover Teixeira, who is 26-5. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I opened Gustafsson -175, the comeback on Teixeira at +135. This is a line that has been bet up. Now, it's been out for a while, but right now it's currently -320 at five dimes, and Teixeira is at +260. So Gustafsson, the 320, of course, decent, solid favorite here. And it's gradually been bet up. Now, as we're getting closer to fight time, more action coming in, more parlays coming in on Gustafsson as well. A lot of people are confident in this play. I think more so because, I mean, Teixeira is 37 years old now. Gustafsson, of course, has had some really good performances, especially as of late. I mean, minus the Anthony Johnson loss. That was pretty bad. I mean, I think that, in my opinion, that's kind of a head-scratcher. I mean, Anthony Johnson did that to a lot of people, so it's an understandable loss. But still, I mean, I was expecting a little bit better from that fight. But he bounced back, had a war with Cormier. I mean, one of the toughest fights of Cormier's life, obviously, as well. That was a competitive fight, and then, of course, rebounded and got back on a winning track with his win over Blachowicz in his last fight. But he's been injured. He's been a little bit inconsistent as far as I'd like to see him fight a little bit more steady again. I'd like to see him kind of throw a couple, you know, wins together more than just, one fight or whatever. So this is a type of fight that he can obviously get back in the title picture with a solid win over Teixeira as well. So I understand the matchmaking here, but still, my confidence level is not as high as everybody else out there in Gustafsson right now. I think there's a lot of question marks that go along with him as well. Now, obviously in this fight, he's going to have some advantages. He's going to have the reach over Teixeira. He's a longer fighter. He knows how to utilize that. Again, the wrestling edge overall is going to be interesting because Gustafsson's wrestling has gotten a lot better, but Teixeira typically has the advantage in most cases there. And then the jiu-jitsu edge for sure goes to Teixeira. So I think we're going to see a little bit of a stand-up battle. Teixeira's hands are underrated. He's got some pop in his punches as well. So I think he'll hold his own as well. I just think that Gustafsson's defense overall is a little bit better at this point, and I trust his chin a little bit more as well. So both these guys are susceptible, obviously, to get knocked out, especially Teixeira as he's aging. But I still think that it's going to be a war even on the feet, and I still think that if it hits the ground, it's not a good thing for Gustafsson either. So Teixeira definitely has passage victory here. I'm not as confident as him right now, though, so I am going to lean with Gustafsson. But this is another spot that I very well could change my pick after wins. I mean, I think that people are severely underestimating Teixeira in this spot, and I think he can sneak away with a win here. I mean, possibly on the ground or a very competitive decision. I mean, if this fight goes five rounds, that means it's going to be a very competitive, close fight that'll go back and forth as it goes as well. So another dog or pass situation, another spot again after wins, I could flip my pick on this fight, but overall it's hard not to like Gustafsson, especially again, factor in the age, factor in the recent performances. I mean, both of these guys have been kind of hot and cold recently against quality competition, but I still think it's Gustafsson's fight to win or lose. His length, his striking should get the job done here overall. So I'll lean his way, but not as confident as everybody else out there. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, this fight is really tricky for me. I mean, Alexander Gustafsson is a strong striker. He fights long. He knows how to use that reach really well, and he's got some power. And he has a pretty good ground game, but you have to go, if you go back and watch, I mean, his last fight, I mean, against Jan Blachowicz, that was not the best performance overall on the feet. I mean, what he did in that fight was he was actually having some trouble against Blachowicz on the feet, and he ended up having to resort to takedowns and winning a decision by getting four takedowns and two guard passes and landing some ground and pound for the most part. Like, he took the striking out of the equation. I don't think he'll be able to do that against Glover Teixeira. Glover has very good takedown defense. Glover has a really nasty ground game. So even if he is put on his back, or if the fight does go to the ground, I don't see Gustafsson dominating that side of things. I mean, Gustafsson wasn't exactly a world beater on the ground until he went to Alliance and worked with Phil Davis after Phil Davis submitted him. So I think Glover's ahead of him in that department. So if it goes to the floor, I can see Glover getting the advantage. Now, on the feet, Glover probably has more one-punch power, but his issue is he's not that fast, and Gustafsson might be able to crack that chin. I mean, Glover's chin is definitely suspect at this point. You saw it when Ryan Bader almost knocked him out, and then you definitely saw it when Anthony Johnson just absolutely destroyed him in like 15 seconds or something crazy like that, maybe even less. So, Glover, it's definitely concerning with his chin, but I mean, Gustafsson doesn't have the greatest chin either. I mean, he gets rocked in fights. He got blasted in the Cormier fight at one point. He got hurt badly in the John Jones title fight. He's taken a lot of damage in those crazy 5-round wars. And then obviously Anthony Johnson also destroyed him in the first round. So, both of these guys have been Johnson victims. Now, overall though, the main difference I see between these guys is Gustafsson has a little bit more reach and Gustafsson is a little bit younger and he's quicker. So even though I think Teixeira has a little bit more power, I can see Gustafsson staying on the outside, popping him with the jabs, and then being a little bit harder to hit. So I'm going to side with Alexander Gustafsson. I'm not crazy confident about it, because if for some reason he is losing the stand-up, I don't see him getting the takedowns and top position and riding this out like he did in his last fight. So he doesn't really have a last resort if the stand-up isn't working. But I'm going to side with Gustafsson. He is fighting in his home country that hasn't always favored him in the past, but I think that there's a good chance that he walks away with at least a decision victory. And with Glover's chin decline, there is a possibility that Gustafsson could get a finish as well if he can be aggressive enough. So I'm going to side with Gustafsson, but I mean, this fight is really close to me. So it could honestly go either way. So that'll do it for our full event breakdown for UFC Fight Night 109. Our premium bets will be released this Saturday afternoon following the weigh-ins, so stay tuned for that if you're an MMA Odds Maker premium member. If we have a free play to give out, make sure to follow at @MMAOBPremium on Twitter, because that's where we'll post them first. We can also notify you of our free bets via email alert if you prefer that method. Just send an email to picks@MMAOddsbreaker.com and we'll add you to our free bet mailing list. Special thanks to our sponsor, 5x Sportsbook. Good luck, everyone, and hopefully the betting gods are on your side this weekend.